Welcome to the Middle East Report, your connection to truthful reporting on Israel and the Middle East. I'm John Riley. Each week, we connect you to the people, places, and geography that you read about in the Word of God. And of course, we keep you up to date with the current events that are happening in the land of Israel. And on this edition of the Middle East Report, we're going to talk to my new friend, Ryan Talley. Ryan serves as the faith-based public relations director for the Israel Ministry of Tourism's North American Christian team. And that particular Midwest region, he's responsible for promoting tourism to Israel in 13 U.S. states. In addition, he is just getting all these wonderful relationships with pastors and media outlets and travel businesses, Christian and religious congregations across the country, because we want to get people to Israel. We want you to experience the difference that a trip to Israel can make in your life. Ryan, it is such a joy to be with you. Tell us a little bit about the Ministry of Tourism. Well, actually, before we talk about the Ministry of Tourism, I want you to share your testimony, because you obviously have a great love for the land of Israel, but you really do have a very interesting testimony on how that kind of was formulated in your life.
I grew up in a small little community in southern Illinois. I was saved at a young age. I was 9 years old, and actually after a church service on a Sunday night, my parents were in choir practice, and I listened to the sermon for the first time, and I asked to go to the car after the service, and so my little 9-year-old self went to sat in the car, and in that car, in the front seat, I made a little altar. And from that point on, I became a subject to a king.
And you began to, as you got older, you studied, learned more, obviously, about the Word of God, and learned more about how important it is for us to connect with the Jewish people and with the land of Israel. Take us a little bit more deeper into, you know, why you love the Jewish people, why you love the land of the Israel, why you're doing what you're doing.
The Lord just really put the land of Israel and the people on my heart. We live in a country where Christianity is cultural. There's a difference between cultural Christianity and actual Christianity. And actual Christians actually read their scripture. And when you actually read the scripture, you see that blessing the Jews and blessing Israel is not an option. It's a commandment. We're commanded, because it's either you're blessed or you're cursed. And if there's a curse that follows something, that's not a maybe. Maybe you should do this. It's a commandment. We are commanded to bless those people and to love them. So that's what I want to be a part of. And the Lord allowed me to live in Israel, to eventually work for the Israeli government. And I consider it such an honor.
Well, we're going to talk about your experience in Israel, because you spent several years in the land of Israel. And so we've got a lot to unpack with that. But before we do that, we do want you to tell us what you do with the Ministry of Tourism. We kind of alluded to that a little bit, but tell us, you know, what your heart is and what you guys are trying to do.
Israel trip is a bucket list trip, right? But don't make it a bucket list trip. Don't wait. Go. Because the moment you step foot in Israel, it changes your life. It's transformative. I get emotional talking about it, but that's okay. You literally see the rocks crying out. You go and you visit archaeological sites, and they're digging up the Bible, and they're proving history. And it confirms your faith. It confirms everything that you believe. You'll never read the Bible the same ever again. Moses on Shavuot, on Pentecost, the tradition is that he went up to receive the Torah from God. And first God says, okay, I want to speak to all the multitude. And then it says that they see his voice. Not that they hear it, but they see his voice. Can you imagine, like, the sensory overload the God of the universe is speaking to you? And they say, what do they say? No. We're going to die if you let him talk to us. Don't let him talk to us. Just give us the book. So Moses goes and receives Torah. That's the same kind of feeling I think you get whenever you go to Israel. You're no longer reading the scripture. You're seeing it. You open up that scripture and you're reading at the Mount of Beatitudes, and you remember being there. You can envision it. You can. It's like in the Wizard of Oz, where everything goes technicolor. That's what it is. Whenever you go to Israel, you come back and you're forever changed.
Well, we can sense that in your emotion and in your voice, that in the time that, you know, you were in Israel, it radically changed how you, as you said,
read the Bible. It radically changed how you see the land of Israel, the geography, and the Jewish people, and, you know, what they've been through over so many thousands of years there. And, you know, I want to get into the time that you were in Israel. Bring us back to the time that you were in Israel, when that was, and just kind of give us a little overview. And then I want to get into a little bit more of, you know, some of your experiences there and your emotions of just seeing some of the things that you've read about in God's Word.
I started going to Israel, and the beginnings of it was in 2015. I made my first tour to Israel in 2016, and I was there every year since. I lived in Israel from 2018 until 2023, right about 4 years. My wife and I both got student visas and did degrees in Israel, got a master's degree in international tourism management. And we lived right on the Kinneret, which is Hebrew for harp, which is what the shape of the Sea of Galilee is. So we lived right off of the Sea of Galilee in a little community called Pori Elit, which is just south of Tiberias, who was the emperor of Rome during the time of Jesus. Tiberias was created in 18 CE, and so a lot of history we saw. We lived in the north, but we were there for a little over 4 years, so I've been everywhere in Israel, every nook and every cranny, and I really took advantage of exploring. I was a kid in the candy shop.
I think that's the way it is for everybody who goes to Israel. They come into Israel and they're like, wow, I never realized that, you know, when we talk about Jesus and Jesus' ministry in Capernaum and then he would go to Jerusalem, that was the distance, you know, that was kind of far. And then when he would go up to the north to Caesarea Philippi, and there's some scriptures that talk about, you know, Peter, who do you say that I am? That's a jaunt north. All of that jumped out at you.
Right. Whenever you're reading scripture, going back to what I was saying about things being visual when you're reading it, after going there, you realize the distances, the geography, the weather, the climate, the culture. Well, you really, if you're reading scripture, you should be reading it context is king and understanding the culture of the day. You realize that Jerusalem to Capernaum is a 24-hour nonstop walk. So it really would have taken them about a week to get to Jerusalem, and they're commanded to go to Jerusalem at least three times a year. And so you think about these things, and you think about the travels, and you think about the disciples walking with him.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing when you travel to the land of Israel and you see all of the things that you're mentioning. And those of you who are listening to the Middle East Report, we just are trying to plant a seed in your heart right now to consider a trip to Israel, because it will literally be life-changing as you see the culture, as you see the context of what you read about in the scripture and the geography. It all comes together when you're reading this in the scripture. You know, thinking about the time that you were there in the land of Israel, and, you know, you mentioned the Sea of Galilee and some other places that you visited. What just pops out of your mind, you know, about like, wow, I didn't know this. And there's probably 1,000 things that you can talk about, but give me a few of them right now.
So many things. Like whenever you envision Israel, like if you've never been and you're reading your scripture and you envision Israel, you might have ideas from TV shows or from movies, and it's all brown and dead and dusty. And honestly, if you've read Mark Twain, it was that. And that's what's amazing about seeing it now post-1948. If you go there, you're stepping into prophecy. You are a part of prophecy because the Jews came back and the land came back. And it's continuing to come back. The more the Jews come back to their land, the more the land is going to come back. And you can go and see and be a part of that. And you can harvest the fields and you can go and volunteer and you can really be a part of Scripture. Not to just read it, but to live it, to be a part of it. Some of the things that I've seen there, in Hippos, for example, Susita is a location that a lot of people really couldn't get to for a long time. And the Ministry of Tourism and the Israel Nature and Parks Authority, have really worked hard on remodeling and rejuvenating these places so that it's accessible for people that couldn't normally go to actually go and see these places. Hippos, for example, was the bright city on the hill in the area of the Decapolis. It was one of the 10 cities that was across the Kinneret, across the Sea of Galilee. So every time Yeshua was saying, okay, I need to go to the other side, he wasn't just simply crossing the lake. He was saying, I have to escape. I'm going to go to a new kingdom. So I'm going to cross this sea to this Gentile area where they're not going to follow me. And what's he see? He sees a demoniac and he heals them. And, you know, this is the story of the pigs in, what is it, Mark 5 or Matthew 5. They run off, and why were there pigs there? Well, there was a temple to Zeus there, and they would sacrifice pigs to Zeus. Why was the demoniac there? Why was, what was this? Thinking about it now, they've recently found the largest baptismal site in all of Israel at Hippos. Well, what happened? The demoniac asked Jesus, take me with you. And he says, no, you go and tell them. And there's proof. There's proof. You can dig up proof constantly. You know, they found the stone that had King David's name on it in Tel Dan. They've got the Abraham's Gate in Tel Dan. There's new findings all the time. They just recently found the actual location of Bethsaida, which is where Peter's from. And what did they find? They found Greek inscriptions saying, you know, the chief of the apostles in Greek, dated to the first century and second century. It's just remarkable.
It is amazing when you travel to Israel and you see and experience the things that you read about in the Word of God, and you just be with the people of Israel, which is amazing in itself. The Jewish people are just wonderful. And, you know, Sesita or Hippos that we were just talking about, for those of you who are listening, that's located right there, you know, on the Sea of Galilee. It's way up on a hill. So it really is a beautiful site. And you and I were talking about how we went there before it was renovated and kind of just made ready for the public. The national parks are beautiful. They're perfect. They're pristine. They're just gorgeous.
And there's so many things there that people wouldn't think to do or to go see in Israel. Like, you wouldn't think about seeing a crusader-like fortress or castle. There's tons of them all over Israel. There's just, you look, it's like you're going to the medieval times. There's so many things. And then outside of just like faith tourism, it's just a phenomenal destination, just period, because there's, you can snow ski and scuba dive in the same day.
Wait a minute. How in the world do you do that?
Well, Mount Hermon, I guess you'd call it Israel's Alp. It's one Alp, but there's snow on there and there's a ski resort. So you can literally go snowboarding, snow skiing. They have mountain coasters up there. It's big snowmen and coffee shops, and you can go skiing and everything. And then in the afternoon, drive maybe 2-3 hours and go scuba dive in the Mediterranean. Or really, I mean, Israel's so small, but there's so much different climate and geography. You could, if you were really pushing it and felt like driving for about 6 hours, you could see the Red Sea, the southernmost tip, and Mount Hermon in the same day. It's only a 6 hour, 6.5 hour, 7 hour drive. So you could literally swim with a dolphin and throw a snowball in the same day.
That's the amazing thing about the geography of Israel. There's just this geography here, another part of geography here, another part of the temperate zone here and there. And of course, in the winter, as you mentioned, you can go up to Mount Hermon and you can ski and swim in the Red Sea, and you can go to the Dead Sea, which is another amazing place to go to. That we haven't even talked about the Dead Sea.
Yeah, and the Dead Sea is it's the lowest place on Earth. It's not the most saline lake in the world, but it's up there. And I can tell you from experience, it's a very unique experience. I'm a very big guy. I'm 6'4", 6'5". I weigh over 300 pounds. I'm a large football player type guy. And the first time I went in there, I thought, I'm not going to float. It's just not going to work. And I was bobbing up and down within 2 seconds of getting in there. It's very unique, very interesting. It's very healthy. The mud that you have there, the industry that comes out of the Dead Sea is remarkable and kind of prophetic in a way. You know, you have the Dead Sea Works there, which they export magnesium and all sorts of minerals that is inserted into soil so that people can farm and grow around the world. So the Dead Sea actually feeds the world. They're able to grow better crops. So there's just lots of really neat things. You have the area of Sodom down there where you can literally see the difference in sulfur and rock, and you can kind of visualize where these events would have happened, and you can literally light the rocks on fire still. There's so much to do and see. Even without the faith aspect, you could go on a vacation there and do anything and everything and have as good a time or better than anywhere in the world. But on top of that, it's where the apple of God's eye is there, and everything happened there. So you get everything.
Yeah, you experience all of this. You read the Bible and you're like, wow, I never knew this. As you experience it when you travel to Israel, and we were just talking about the region of the Dead Sea. We didn't even mention En Gedi. En Gedi is an oasis in the middle, basically, of the desert in the Dead Sea area. And this is a beautiful place. There's so many biblical things that happened there, but the one that we can think of right now is David and Saul. You know, Saul was there, and David was off in another cave, and he cut off part of the robe of Saul and so many other things. And it is gorgeous. There is water that is flowing from the waterfalls that come from En Gedi.
You can go stand under it and let it refresh you after your hike in the very arid and dry Dead Sea air. It's hot. I will say it's hot. But there's the oasis that gives you like this time of respite. And to think that's exactly where I would go if I were David. Like if I ran across that's where I would be hiding out too, because of water. Just all the little springs that are natural that are bubbling up around there that actually have fish in it. And you know, one day they'll be fishing in that Dead Sea, but that's another story. And there's just north of Ein Gedi, you have Qumran. And you have, you know, the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, and you have the accuracy of the scripture. God allows change, but he doesn't change, and his word is forever.
That's something that's really important for all of us to realize here on the Middle East Report. God's word does not change. His word is solid. You can trust the word of God. And something else that I like to tell people, the Bible is a Jewish book. Jesus was Jewish. And I think sometimes we try to Christianize, you know, Jesus and try to make him a Christian. Jesus wasn't a Christian. He was a Jew. And when you come to Israel, you realize the scriptures, they come alive. You realize the context. You realize the Jewishness of the scriptures and what you read every single day. And it's just absolutely incredible. And, you know, we're talking about all these beautiful places in Israel. Another place that they've actually opened up, and this is one of the other places that I've been to when, you know, it didn't have anybody there receiving tourists, is Lachish. Lachish is in the southern parts of Israel. And for those of you who are listening right now, Lachish was located on a very important roadway there in the land of Israel during that time. Kingdoms would come through this roadway, so it sets up kind of high. And you wanted that particular community called Lachish. And you can read about it in the Word of God. It was so important, and it passed hands to different people, but for a long time, it was under the control of Israel. Tell us about Lachish. I mean, you and I were talking a little bit about that earlier before we came on the air.
It's a remarkable site. They just keep uncovering things. It seems like it's every couple of weeks, there's something else coming out of that site. And it's just that whole area down there was really, there's an area that goes from Mesopotamia. Now, if you're not familiar with this terminology, it's like Persia is Iran, and Mesopotamia is southern and a little bit to the west, which is Iraq, modern-day Iraq. And then there's a route that was part of the Silk Road, but also it was an easier route to take, the coastal road called the Via Maris. And so they would take this route through the coast, and they would end up in using these ports like Jaffa, which is one of the oldest, I think maybe it is the oldest port in the world. And they would go into, you know, towns like Lachish. And then south of that, you have the area that was held by the Philistines at that time. And then you look a little bit north of that and you get into the Valley of Elah, which is where David fought Goliath. And there's just so much. It's everywhere you step, you're stepping into history, Like you're stepping into the Word of God everywhere you step.
You know, there's people who are listening, especially maybe some pastors who've been considering a trip to Israel. They're interested in going to Israel, but they really don't know how to start. They don't know what to do. You know, what's the first thing they need to be thinking about with a trip to the Holy Land?
You mean pastors that are thinking about taking congregational trips to Israel, like they want to take their sheep?
That's right, because I think it's important for, obviously, pastors to go to Israel. They need to go, but they need to bring, you know, people in their congregation to Israel as well.
I firmly believe that every single pastor on the planet needs to visit Israel at least once, because every sermon after that is going to be fresh and different because of what we have just previously spoke about. Like, once you go there, the word comes alive. Like, it's going to give you so much more context. And that's the number one rule in studying scripture. We're not just to read scripture, we're supposed to devour it. We're supposed to study it. And to really study it is to know who, what, where, when, why, and how. You really need to know the context. The three rules of studying scripture is context, context, context. And going to Israel really kind of pulls the veil back on a lot of things. And so pastors can go back to their congregations with fresh perspectives and really, really clear, correct contextual teachings. Not that they couldn't without it, but it helps. It helps tremendously. What I would say to those pastors is go. Just you go. You and your wife, you and your family, you go. You don't have to go on some huge tour. You don't have to book some big thing. You can go. An individual can go to Israel. It's safe. Even now, it's safe. You can go. You can feel comfortable. You can rent a car. The road rules are the same. You can get around just fine. You can have an Airbnb or a hotel, or you can go glamping, camping, do whatever you want to do. And if you do it that way, it's not that expensive. You can go and enjoy it and see. Come and see, and then tell. Then you come back to your congregation. You're gonna do trips. If you go as a pastor and you come back, you're gonna figure out a way to do trips. And it's not that complicated. And if you can always reach out to the Ministry of Tourism. That's what we're here for. We can connect you. We can educate you. We'll bend over backwards to make sure people are going and seeing the truth of the land and the people.
A trip to Israel is life-changing. And we know those of you who are listening maybe have a desire to go. Maybe you haven't even thought about it. This is the purpose of this program today, is to get you to pray about it, to think about it, and to help you realize that it's not impossible to plan a trip to Israel. And as you've heard during this Middle East report, it's life-changing. And I know we don't have time to get into this right now, but you've spoken to hundreds and hundreds of people, pastors, ministry leaders who have been to Israel. It's changed their life forever. And as you're listening today, it will change your life forever. So pray about it. Just see if the Lord is leading you and guiding you. If you're a pastor, do what Ryan said, and that's just take that first step, and you and your wife and maybe your family go to Israel. It's not that difficult, and it will definitely be life-changing. Get a hold of the Israel Ministry of Tourism. They're going to guide you. They're going to connect you with tour guides and tour companies and whatever you need, all of that, and they're going to help you. Ryan, thank you for the work that you do at the Israel Ministry of Tourism. We hope everybody travels to Israel. It's definitely life-changing, brother.
Yeah, it's an honor to work for the government of Israel and to be in the position that I'm in and to talk to so many people and to just promote God's land and his family, his chosen. We, as Christians, are a part of that birthright. We're grafted into it.
We are, and that's something that I think every one of us needs to always remember. I want to encourage you to visit holyland.israel.travel. This is a website that will connect you to the land of Israel. They have amazing videos to connect you to the land and the people of Israel, and there's a lot of other great information there. If you're thinking about a trip to Israel, you're going to find a lot of great information about that. Maybe you're thinking about putting together a group to go to Israel. You'll find information on that as well at that website, holyland.israel.travel. That's holyland.israel.travel. I want to encourage you to go to that website and find out more. When it comes to news and information from Israel and the Middle East, there is so much bias out there. You have to be very, very careful about the news and information that you consume. That's why I want to point you to a brand new service that we're providing for you from American Family News. We now have a special section that is dedicated to Israel and the Middle East. You're going to hear the truth from that website and from our staff here at American Family News. So I want to encourage you to go to AFN.net. They are always posting some great stories, and I have a couple that I wanted to share with you from AFN.net. This one is coming out of Arkansas. Now, a little background on this particular story. In the news, you will hear that Israel is the occupier. You will hear that Israel is just trying to take over the West Bank. Well, first of all, the West Bank is not even a correct term. The correct term is Judea and Samaria, the ancient regions of Judea and Samaria. They've been recognized by Jews for thousands of years. It's a large portion of Israel. It actually is called the heartland of Israel, where so much of the Bible took place. In fact, some estimate probably 70 to 80% of the Bible took place in Judea and Samaria. And so the story from American Family News is pretty exciting. Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders has ordered state agencies, because of this new law that has passed, that they have to refer to that particular region in Israel as Judea and Samaria in an official capacity. That's a huge story that you can find at AFN.net. I encourage you to check that out. Another story has to do with negotiations between the United States and Iran. And there is a lot of concern about these negotiations. And there's a story about that as well at AFN.net. In fact, AFN.net talked to a retired Navy commander, Kirk Leopold. He commanded the USS Cole when it was hit by a terrorist attack in 2000. He said, quote, "I do not trust the Iranians. Whatever agreement gets put into place, number one, it needs to be intrusive. And number two, it needs to be verifiable. And number three, the U.S. needs to be ready to respond with force if Iran refuses to comply." You can get a lot of great information on Israel and the Middle East when you go to AFN.net. I encourage you to go there and check that out. Do you ever feel alone in your support for Israel? Do you ever feel worried that your voice won't make a difference? Well, coming up June 9, 10, and 11 in Dallas, Texas, you have an opportunity to change that. As you gather together with others across the country and stand with Israel, you're going to hear great speakers from all over the land of Israel, including speakers from the United States. Includes former U.S. Ambassador to Israel, David Freeman, and former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, and many, many others. If you want more details on that, check out theisraelguys.com. That's the Middle East Report. I'm John Riley. Get a podcast of the show wherever you get your podcasts or at AFR.net. Thanks for listening.